Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's meditation does come from the gospel lesson that is going to be read during the sermon. Don't worry about that. But it's a very important day because today marks the end of that word in Matthew 13. And what a journey it's been. But, you know, we figure that we give you more for your money today. So instead of just one parable, you're going to get three. Don't worry, I won't make the sermon three times as long. You'll be okay for that. But it's been such an exciting journey that we've had these past couple of weeks, looking at these parables in Matthew that Jesus is speaking to the crowd. We remember first the parable of the sower, where Jesus does say some truths that evangelism sometimes isn't always easy. We then go into the parable of the wheat in the field, and where, yes, there will be many good people in the kingdom of heaven, but among them there will be weeds. But we don't have to worry about that. That's for God to worry about at the end of the day. We are only to sit by his feet, learn from him, and carry on what he commands. Now, when we were going through these gospel lessons, they were kind of a little bit separated. We first had the story and then the explanation. Well, the explanation happened actually when Jesus was talking to his disciples in a home after the crowds had already left. This is important because these three parables are fast. They're quick. They're only two verses or less. And he says them, Jesus, not to the crowds of people gathered around him, but intimately with his disciples who are probably standing even closer than you are to me right now. So what's going on here? What does he actually say to them? Well, after the crowds had dispersed and the disciples came into the house that Jesus was sitting at, and after he got done to them explaining what the parable of the sower meant, what the parable of the weeds meant, he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds and then covers up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And after he finds only one pearl of great value, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that one pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It was thrown out into the sea and caught all kinds of fish. And when the net was full, the men, they dragged it ashore, and there they began to separate the fish. The good, they put in containers. And the bad, they tossed aside. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come, and they will gather up all the people in the kingdom of heaven, and they will take the righteous and separate them from the evil ones. And the evil ones will be thrown into the fiery furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" Well, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Yeah." And so he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who brings out from his treasure both what is new and what is old." And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So once again, do you understand? Do you know? See, these parables, like I said, they were fast. Also have another thing, that Jesus doesn't actually say what each part means. In the sower, we know what the type of soil is. We know what the seed is. In the parable of the weeds, we know what's going we know what's going on. But in these parables, they're a bit different. Not only just told to the disciples, but they also, Jesus gives no meaning to them. So we can look at these parables, and many people in history have done this in one of two ways. The first way that we can look at it is Well, what is that pearl? What is that treasure? So many people have thought that that treasure is in the pearl is the Word of God. And it makes sense. I mean, it's the most priceless thing in this world. The Word of God is so great that it can change people, change nations, and move mountains. It is surely a prize that is worth nothing else than priceless. But that doesn't really follow the theme of what the other parables have gone on about. You see, whenever Jesus speaks in parables about the kingdom of heaven, and whenever there's a man in this, or a worker or a master, they're usually not us. It's God. So if God is the one who is the man who goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field, if he is the man who, the merchant, who goes and sells everything that he has and buys that pearl, then what is the pearl? What's the treasure? That's what probably the disciples were thinking. And the revelation was that Jesus was talking about his disciples, that they are the treasured hidden in the field, that they are the priceless pearl. That seems so radical, because that means today God considers us his priceless treasure. He considers us worthy, not because of anything that we did, but because he loves us. And that's such a radical thing in today's world. That's not normal. Many times when I was studying for undergrad and for graduate school at the seminary, I got to look at statistics. I got to look at charts and graphs. Sometimes I did this just to see what the world was saying, or if there was some type of new survey that was being done on whether I like this kind of food. I get lost in Facebook sometime. Those BuzzFeed quizzes are the death of me. But there's something that I always found that is becoming more truer each and every day. We say that people in today's society, oh, you're unique, you're different, you are so wonderful in who you are, but in our practices in society, it doesn't match. Because for the most part, we're just a statistic and a number. When people make decisions or anything about that, when they decide what's the newest market we're going to do, what is the newest product we're going to bring, they don't go to each and every person individually and say, what do you want? They take a graph, they take a survey, and suddenly you just become one percentage in a larger pool of people. One of the things that makes it hard for people in today's society is they want to feel special, they want to feel included, they want to feel like they're important, but society around us is telling us, you're just a number. You're just a dollar amount. People can actually calculate how much you are worth in today's world. And I haven't calculated how much I am. Probably not that much right now. I still got some student debt going on. Well, maybe then I'm worth more, I don't know. But I can guarantee you, that number is not priceless. In today's society, in today's world, you have a price. And you're only as good as the dollar amount that you can give. Many people feel that way. But we're disciples of God in Christ Jesus. And we know that we are his priceless treasure. But I can guarantee you that you don't always feel like that. That I know I don't feel like that. We all don't feel at times that we are Jesus' priceless treasure. We fail. When we go and say rude things behind someone's back and they immediately feel guilty after it, we don't feel like a priceless treasure, but a tarnished pearl with a lot of flaws in it. When we go and we lie to our friends, when we lie to our loved ones, we don't feel like a priceless treasure, but a chipped piece of jewelry that's worth nothing. We don't respect those in authority. When we do not pray for those who are above us, who need our prayers, when we know we should, but we don't. We don't feel like a priceless treasure, but instead a lump of coal, not even fit to be made into a diamond. And all the while, there's Satan. He's looking at us. He's accusing us. He's saying to us, how can anyone find you priceless? Look at you. You lie. You cheat. You hate. What can anyone say about that? You're a hypocrite. And you know it. How can anyone love you? How can God love you for everything that you have done, for everything who you are? How can God even find you priceless? Thanks be to God, we know why. It was explained in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, a book that was full of laws for God's people, why God chose Israel. It wasn't because of everything that they did. It wasn't because of who they were, but it was because simply that God loved them, that he chose them. Nothing else. He loved them and he chose them, and that's why they were his priceless treasure. And it didn't stop when they screwed up. It didn't stop when time and time again they fell away from him and pursued idols. It didn't stop when they wanted a king instead of God. It didn't stop when they were sent into exile. It continued throughout the centuries to Christ. And there it was made known just how much God finds us priceless. Like the man in the parable, Jesus gave up everything that he had. He was at the beginning of creation. He made us. And yet he came and became one of us because we were his priceless treasure. He gave up all of his power. He gave up all of his dominion. He came down to earth, was incarnate in our flesh because he loved us. He took on our form, died our death because he loves us. He rose again from the dead to defeat death because he loves us. It didn't matter what we were worth. It didn't matter if it was multitudes of people, because like the merchant in search of the fine pearls, he sold everything that he had. He gave away everything that he had for even just one person, for you and for me. He did all of that because he loves us. That's so different than what society can give today. It's so different than even what his disciples were used to when they had all of these laws to follow that God would be happy with them. But Jesus came and he said, no, I love you. Not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything of who you are or what you will do, but because I chose you and I love you. And that love continues. The third parable in this story is one that does seem very familiar. It's like the wheat and the weeds, where it talks about the last day. But where that parable tells us that God will sort everything out on the last day, this one is to encourage those who are in Jesus. Because he said, the good will and the righteous will be gathered together. And there they will live with God forever. And these are important stories because they all follow the theme of, yes, of God loving us and God doing something, but also because God wants us to go and share these stories with everyone around us. He wants us to go and sow the seed and not care about where it goes. It will be hard sometimes, but because God is with us, because he loves us, it will take root and not return to him void. He wants us to go out there, and yes, there will be people who revile us, who hate us, but God will sort all of that out because he loves us. These last parables are to than his disciples, to strengthen us for the ministry of his holy word in today's world. And it's tough. The ending of these stories and these parables is actually not going to be read. It is when Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. And there, his own people throw him out. But that's not the end of the story. His own people might have thrown him out. His own people that he knew might have cast it away, but he still loved them. He still went to the cross for them. He still went to die for them. Even though there are people who hated him, even though there will be people who will hate us, revile us, Jesus Christ came and died for them too. Died for the whole world. And for those who are in him, we have this promise that we know, as St. Paul writes, that neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor powers, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.